Morning Watch, Living and Serving According to God's Economy Concerning the Church, Week 9, The Function of the Church, 2, The Corporate Manifestation of God in the Flesh, Wednesday, Related Verses, 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25. But if all prophesy, and some unbeliever or unlearned person enters, he is convicted by all. He is examined by all. The secrets of his heart become manifest, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God, declaring that indeed God is among you. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 13. But there are distinctions of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are distinctions of ministries, yet the same Lord. And there are distinctions of operations, but the same God who operates all things in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what is profitable. For to one, through the Spirit, a word of wisdom is given, and to another, a word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To a different one, faith, in the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing in the one Spirit, and to another operations of works of power, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, to a different one various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same Spirit operates all these things, distributing to each one respectively, even as he purposes. For even as the body is one and has many members, yet all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is the Christ. For also in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and were all given to drink one Spirit. Related reading. 1 Timothy 3:16 begins with, "And confessedly, great is the mystery of godliness." The conjunction "and" in verse 16 indicates that Paul has not finished speaking about the church in verse 15. The church is the house of the living God and the pillar and base of the truth. Paul's use of the conjunction at the beginning of verse 16 indicates that the church is something even more than the house of the living God and the pillar and base of the truth. The church is also the mystery of godliness. Godliness refers to God expressed. What are we doing in the church life? We are expressing God. Human beings may not realize this adequately, but the angels recognize it and appreciate it. When the Lord Jesus was born, a host of angels praised God. If the angels rejoiced at the birth of the Lord Jesus in Bethlehem, the city of David, will they not also rejoice to see God manifested in the church, which is Christ's increase and enlargement? Furthermore, when the Lord Jesus, living out God and manifesting him on earth, confronted the demons cried out. In at least one case, they begged the Lord Jesus not to send them into the abyss. No doubt, when the church is living out God and manifesting him, the demons and the evil angels will be terrified. Every local church must be a place where Christ is born anew in the saints. Furthermore, every local church must live out God in such a way that the devil's time is shortened. On the one hand, when the churches come up to God's standard, the angels will sing and rejoice. On the other hand, the the demons and the evil angels will tremble. He, in 1 Timothy 3:16, refers to Christ, who was God manifested in the flesh as the mystery of godliness. The transition from the mystery of godliness to He implies that Christ, as the manifestation of God in the flesh, is the mystery of godliness. This mystery of godliness is the living of a proper church, and such a living is also the manifestation of God in the flesh. The first part of 1 Timothy 3:16 speaks of a matter, the mystery of godliness. The fact that Paul says, "he who," implies that the mystery of godliness is a person and not merely a matter. This person is Christ as the head with his body. Through incarnation and human living, God was manifested in the flesh. In the flesh means in the likeness, in the fashion of man. Christ appeared to people in the form of man, yet He was God manifested in man. Christ was also justified in the Spirit. The incarnated Christ in His human living was not only vindicated as the Son of God by the Spirit, but also justified, proved, and approved as right and righteous by the Spirit. He was manifested in the flesh, but was vindicated and justified in the Spirit. He appeared in the flesh, but He lived in the Spirit and offered Himself to God through the Spirit. His transfiguration and His resurrection are both justifications in the Spirit. Furthermore, in resurrection, He even became the life-giving Spirit to dwell and live in us, for the manifestation of God in the flesh as the mystery of godliness. Hence, now we know Him and His members no longer according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Since the manifestation of God in the flesh is justified in the Spirit, and the Spirit is one with our spirit, we must live and behave in our spirit, that this justification may be accomplished.